Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Thursday. Time permitting, 251-343-0106. The text line is still available, even for you, Derek, who can't find anything to that's acceptable discussion for this format. But joining us now, the man of the moment, had an announcement earlier this morning, officially launching his campaign for United States Senate on the Washington Examiner. But we're glad to get him here on the program. Attorney General Steve Marshall is with us. General, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. It's been a fun day, and it's been exciting to sort of announce what we've been talking about with people across the state now for the last several weeks, and excited about what I think will be a campaign. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk about the decision here. Now, late last year, you dropped or you declined to run for governor. Senate, different story. What kind of led you in this direction?
You and I had talked a little bit before about the governor in the past, and for me, there was just not the interest in being able to, didn't feel led to be able to run for governor. Part of it, I think, had to do with the fact that what has really intrigued me about being attorney general has been those national fights and the issues in which we have an opportunity to be engaged. The fact that we were able to not only support President Trump during his initial term and to be able to do the same thing where he is now, but also to truly fight back against the radical nature of the Biden administration. And as a guy that came up from the prosecutor ranks, who kind of spent an awful lot of my career putting bad guys in jail, I would have never told you when 8 years ago I walked into this job that that would be the part that every day when I wake up gets me excited about coming to work. But it's been a remarkable blessing to serve as Attorney General. And what I appreciate now about the run for Senate is that it's a chance to be engaged on the many issues that we've been a part of from the AG side, but to really do it in a very different way from the seat of a United States senator.
And you talk about those national fights. I mean, we don't have to go into specifics here, but really, what are you looking at primarily, you think, generally speaking?
Well, like, immigration becomes paramount for me. And like, Alabama's not directly a border state, but we are impacted by what goes on at the border. And I had a chance to see just last week in Arizona, visiting with several of my AG colleagues, what leadership means and what the Trump administration has been able to do to flip the script on what took place on our southern border. And look, we had to deal with that in our state, not only by the volume of people that came in, but also the fentanyl that was being put on our streets. And so when we saw the fight that has been with the Biden administration over the deep state attempting to write policy and to write laws, when that's clearly Congress's role, the ability to sit in the seat of a senator and to be able to support the president's agenda on immigration is very much important for me. I think I also have an interest in dismantling the lawfare that we see going on across our country when Article III judges, singularly in blue states, have the ability to thwart what's going on with the administration. That's got to stop. Congress has the ability through the passing of certain laws to be able to stop that from going on, and that needs to be a priority. And then look, I very much look forward to doing what I think Tommy Tuberville has been exceptional at, and that is supporting the president's agenda to be able to step up and help this administration live out the mandate the American people gave him.
Let's talk about the courts real quick, and this doesn't necessarily pertain to your Senate run here. We'll get more into that in just a moment, but you know, my perception, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm married to one, though, but in the courts, there's an imbalance in the federal courts where you have these lower court district judges able to issue these nationwide injunctions and put stays on things on a national basis. And I think at some point, it seems like the Supreme Court's got to say something here that those are typically very unprecedented sort of things you're doing. And it really needs to be, if it's going to be a nationwide injunction and not just something that pertains to that district or that circuit, that it ought to be handled at that Supreme Court level with some kind of review, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the ones I would say amen on. If you look at, for example, we pushed back against the changes to Title IX during the Biden administration. We represented five states in a case that was filed here in the 11th Circuit. We were able to be successful, but the remedy that we received, in essence, the relief from the court, was specific to those five states. And yet we see Democratic AGs seeking district court judges to impose the rule of law of that court across the entire country. And we've seen three of our Supreme Court justices very much say they're willing to entertain that question. But look, Jeff, Congress can solve this problem. There's the ability to pass specific statutes that define the limits of Article III judges and what they can do. And while I know there's a couple of senators that have been involved with that, particularly Senator Grassley and a couple of my former colleagues that I serve with as AGs, Congress can act to solve this and not wait on the Supreme Court. And if I have the privilege of being able to serve as United States Senator for Alabama, and that issue is not resolved, then that will be one of the priorities for me.
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, in that capacity as a United States Senator, and this is not just Jeff Poore speaking. I think this is a general perception of Congress, though it doesn't move. And maybe we don't want it to necessarily be very efficient and expedite things and move things in a direction one way or another. But, I mean, it has been a logjam for a long, long time. Everything is so partisan, and it makes it very, very difficult to move that. I mean, what do you do there then if this is a priority for you as a potential U.S. senator?
Yeah, number one, stagnant is not the same as deliberate. And what we see is very much a Congress that hasn't been able to act on this issue. But, Jeff, this ought to be an issue that the Democrats care about as well. I mean, if I, as a Republican AG, had been doing lawsuits that had obtained nationwide injunctions to stop the Biden administration, you would think that they would see that as an improper exercise of judicial authority. And so, look, I think one thing the U.S. Senator has to be able to do is to build the case for why certain laws need to be in place, to develop a coalition of others that similarly see the need for that policy issue to be implemented as law. And it would be, I think, the challenge that I would face in that role is to convince my colleagues that this is something that's important. And I think there's no doubt as a result of what we've seen just over the now first almost 120 days of this administration, this is a problem. It's a problem that Congress needs to address, and my hope is that long before I would have a chance to be able to serve as a U.S. Senator, that we have that problem solved.
Well, and, you know, maybe the timing's a little off-putting here, but I got to think if you're a Democrat in on Capitol Hill and you're looking at this and you're thinking, well, if this is the new norm, we're just going to have federal judges do what they wish, then they're going to do it. You know, right-leaning judges will do this to Democratic administrations, and maybe that's the impetus to get the ball moving on this. But for right now, the sacrificial lamb seems to be a lot of the things that Donald Trump is trying to do.
It is, and I think one thing that we have the opportunity to do from the AG side where I sit now is to try to find that appropriate case to put before the Supreme Court that potentially can get the relief that we just talked about. And there's no doubt that with the current Department of Justice and my good friend Pam Bondi leading that charge with a Solicitor General that came as a former Solicitor General out of the AG ranks, that is a priority for the Department of Justice in finding the ability to put that issue directly before the court. And, you know, it is, again, possible that the Supreme Court may weigh in. We do know that we have an interest from the writings of the past, particularly with regard to Justice Thomas, and it may be that that's the vehicle to be able to solve that problem. But I think, again, the reality is we don't need courts to always be the solution. We need Congress to be able to act on issues that matter, and hopefully this is one that can be solved.
We're joined by Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall here on the program. He's also now officially a candidate for U.S. Senate in Alabama, the seat that will be vacated by Tommy Tuberville, who is running for governor. What does the campaign look like? You and I were talking off air that it's, you know, it's an endurance race, and this feels like the very, very beginning of it. But Well, you know, how hard do you go at this stage?
It's not my first rodeo, right? We've had, you know, three or at least two races statewide, and so we've been out there. But, no, we start off strong and we'll continue strong. Alabama's a big state. And one thing I think is critically important is for the constituency that I am attempting to pull together is to make sure they hear from me about the vision in this new role. They've had an opportunity to see that we are a strong, proven conservative that will stand with President Trump on the issues that matter. And I think that's what the people of Alabama are looking for. The other thing they've seen is that we represent the values of the state, and we've been involved in multiple fights, including, you know, the generic fight about who's a boy and who's a girl, right? I mean, it's been one of those things that Alabama's had a chance to be able to lead. Other states have been able to follow. And I think once people have an opportunity to be able to review our records, I don't just talk tough. I'm able to get tough things done. And I think that's what the people of Alabama will see from me.
The field, do you anticipate a crowded field in this election? I don't know. You hear rumors and you hear people, a buzz will start about, you know, there were certain people running, and then they'll say, no, not interested. But what do you think that's going to look like here as we get going?
It's an open Senate seat, and so I would imagine that will attract significant interest. I will tell you, I'm kind of like the racehorse with blinders, though. My job is to run my race, to be able to share the vision I have and to be able to talk about the record that we've developed. And so whether that field is five or six or more than that, my job stays the same. And that's to contrast what I've done from others and to be able to share why I'm the right candidate for the job.
And, you know, sort of getting in there and getting the job, I mean, potentially, Senator, looking at 2026 and beyond, historically, those are Democrat years. I don't think there's any way that Alabama is going to elect a Democrat at the top of the ticket here anytime soon. But say you are elected, and I mean, there's a real potential here that you're in the minority. I mean, and then suddenly it's a totally different ball game than what's underway right now. Have you thought about that much?
I have. And, you know, actually, Coach and I had a little bit of a conversation about his frustrations there. And by the way, we're remarkably blessed by his leadership and what he's done there. I think he sets that example of what a senator can be. But it's the value of a prosecutor as well. I mean, I understand Congress has the ability through subpoenas to be able to request information, that we have the ability to hold hearings in which witnesses can be questioned. And I think one of the roles of the minority is to be able to expose the excesses of a bloated deep state bureaucracy. It's been the beauty of DOGE that they've been able to expose many things that have been going on right under our eyes that we didn't know about. Congress has a specific oversight responsibility. And when you're in the minority, there are limits on what you can do, but oversight remains one of the things I think is a vital role, even if you don't have the majority of senators in place.
And we'll wrap it up on this sort of I would say maybe it's an unfair question or maybe not, but, you know, historically in Alabama, the United States Senator has kind of played the role in some capacity as the breadwinner for the state, bring home the government money, bring home the bacon or whatever, you know, you want to use the terminology you want to use. On the other hand, you've also had some U.S. senators who aren't really that. I mean, they're more of a theoretical or ideological force inside that chamber, and they talk about the policy from a, you know, a 10,000 foot perspective. You know, how do you find the right balance there as a U.S. senator, you think, in your role?
You know, Jeff, I've been asked, you know, are you going to be like this person or that person? You know, I'm going to be me. You know, the last thing that people want is for me to try to emulate somebody else when it isn't my personality or my character. I think what folks understand is that I've been principled about the positions we've taken as Attorney General, that we have pursued the things that matter to the people of our state. I know that sort of earmarks have gone away historically in Congress, and so that's changed some of what, you know, the whenever in North Alabama, when every building was named after Tom Bevel, right? I mean, when we saw that over the years. But I think we have to be fiscally responsible about where we are with the budget, and that continues to be an issue, I think, to the extent that I'm a senator and I allow for a national debt to be passed on to my great great grandchildren, then I'm not doing the job that people have sent me up there to be able to do. And so I think you'll see me as somebody that will be strident in being able to reduce federal government, to be able to reduce the excesses in cost that we're seeing even beyond what has already been exposed. And then my job is to be an advocate for the state of Alabama, and I'll make sure that I aggressively support what our farmers are doing, what our manufacturers are doing, and try to make sure that we are creating the greatest opportunity for Alabama to be successful and keeping the federal government out of the pocketbooks of our citizens.
Finally, General, talk about tell folks they want to find out more about your campaign as it gets started, or if they want to get involved in some capacity financially or whatever. They want to just find out more about you as a candidate. Where can they look?
Yeah, we have propped up our website, stevemarshallforsenate.com. That's where we got started. We're beginning to add to that with regard to certain policy positions. But look, if folks want to know about Steve Marshall, they've seen me for the last 8.5 now years as their attorney general. They've seen what we've done. They've seen the strong positions that we've taken and the successes we've had. I've got a record out there for people to review, and I'm ready to stand on it in this campaign.
General, we thank you for your time. I'm sure this is the first of many appearances as a candidate, but thanks for coming on the program on a busy day.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. I'm depending on you, son.